Good afternoon. This is a meeting of the Title Setting Board, meeting pursuant to Title I, Article 40 of Colorado Revised Statutes. For the record, the date is January 6, 2010. The time is 2:01 p.m. We're meeting in the Secretary of State's Blue Spruce Conference Room, 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. The Title Setting Board today consists of the following. My name is Bill Hobbs. I'm Deputy Secretary of State, and I'm here on behalf of Secretary of State Bernie Buescher. To my right is Dan Domenico, Solicitor General, here on behalf of Attorney General John Southers. To my immediate left is Dan Carton, Deputy Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, who is the designee of the Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, Charlie Pike. Also at the table with me, to my far left, is Maury Kneiser, Deputy Attorney General, who represents the Title Setting Board, and to my far right, Ceci Gomez from the Secretary of State's office. Just some general background information. There is a sign-up sheet on the table by the back door for anybody who wishes to testify. The hearing is recorded. It's broadcast over the internet. For anybody who does wish to testify, when you do so, please identify yourself for the record and who you represent. The basically, for a new measure, and we have one today on our agenda, there's three steps that we follow. The first step is I provide an opportunity for the members of the title board to ask questions of the proponents. And this is important to make sure that we understand what the measure does. Then second, the board will determine if it has jurisdiction to set a title. And that necessarily requires us to determine if the measure comprises a single subject, because if it is not a single subject, then we are prohibited from setting a title. And then third, if the board determines that the measure is a single subject and it has jurisdiction to set a title, then we will proceed to work on drafting a title, starting with the staff prepared draft, which is available on the table. So we'll work from that, and I think Ms. Gomez will, when we get to that step, we'll project that on the screen in the room as well. A decision is reached by two of the three members of the board, and anyone who is dissatisfied with the decision of the board will have 7 days from today to file a request for rehearing with the Secretary of State's office. And of course, we're not concerned with the merits of proposals, but only with the setting of fair and proper titles. So with that, let's turn to the agenda. We do have just one item today. This is 2009-2010 number 35, request for official opposition to any proposed limitation on possession of firearms. Looks like I have one person signed up to testify. I want to start with someone who can speak for the proponents. So if you can do that, would you come forward and then identify yourself and yes, thank you. Mr. Heatherly, is that correct? So again, if you would just identify yourself for the record and who you represent.
My name is Charles Heatherly. I'm one of the original co-authors of this measure, along with former Congressman Tom Tancredo, who could not be here today. The proposed measure is pretty straightforward. We went through a meeting with the LSC staff and had valuable input from them. It was revised in accordance with their suggestions. Simplify it and remove any ambiguities that might raise questions about the single subject rule. And the purpose is simply to allow the people of Colorado to make an official statement requesting all elected officials to oppose any international treaty that would affect the right to keep and bear arms as guaranteed in the Colorado State Constitution, Article 13, Section 13. I really don't have much to add to that, except that we did debate among ourselves, and legal counsel of the merits of statutory versus constitutional amendment decided that it was more straightforward and more logical. Since the subject of rights to gun ownership is already covered in the state constitution, in the Bill of Rights, to simply amplify on the existing wording there with a new section rather than trying to do it by statute. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thanks, Mr. Heatherly. Excuse me. You know, let me just ask one before we get into substantive questions. I just was noticing that on the measure as filed with the Secretary of State, the representatives are listed as Tom Tancredo and Jim Pfaff, although I see that the legislative the staff memo is addressed to you and I think Tom Tancredo. So I'm a little confused about who are the actual proponents of the measure.
The proponents of the measure at this point are Tom Tancredo and Jim Pfaff. I was one of the original proponents in the drafting in the early stages. Mr. Pfaff is taking my place, but he could not be here either. But they've authorized me to speak for them if,
okay,
if you have questions.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Heatherly? Mr. Carton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Heatherly, just a couple of questions. The measure references elected public officials in the state. Does that include local government officials that are elected?
All elected officials.
Okay.
Presently drafted to the extent permitted by their official duties.
And it speaks to any international treaty, protocol, or other binding agreement. So is it limited, in addition to international treaties, is it limited to international protocols and international binding agreements?
Yes. Because some treaties are not officially called treaties. They have other titles attached to them. Treaties are submitted for ratification by the United States Senate. Some other forms of international protocols are not.
But it's all international?
Yes.
Okay.
Only exclusively international, not not affect any domestic law order.
Thank you. And the last clause of the measure says, or any other right contained in this Bill of Rights. And so the request impacts not only measures that implicate the right to bear arms, but any of the other rights.
Correct.
Enumerated under Section 13 of Article 2.
Well, no, anything in the article, in the Bill of Rights itself, not just Section 13.
Right.
Freedom of speech.
Anything else in Article 2?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and the reason for that was we decided it would be improper and wise to single out gun ownership for special protections, since all these other rights in the state Bill of Rights are also important. So in terms of the present language, they all have equal standing.
Which would lead me to my last question, and that is, and you may have already answered it, but my question was, is there a reason why you specified the right to bear arms and none of the other rights in the text of the measure? Singled any other,
yes,
like
because there is
freedom
a,
of speech.
There is a specific proposed international treaty affecting the right to bear arms that is now under negotiation at the United Nations, the United Nations Small Arms Treaty, which has been proposed by a UN resolution. The United States has entered into negotiations with a target of reaching a treaty, a small arms treaty, by the year 2012. So that's a specific thing that's on the horizon. Other international agreements that would affect other rights in the state constitution may very well emerge, but are not on the immediate horizon.
That's all I have for now. Thank you.
Other questions for Mr. Heatherly? Let me just maybe follow up on one of Mr. Carton's questions. With respect to the enumeration of certain public officials, I think you really answered that it's that that's just by way of example, that it's any elected official at any level. But I'm inferring maybe these are the people that are enumerated are the people who would be most likely to be impacted by the proposal. Is that a fair statement? Is that why they're listed?
Well, they're listed by way of example and to make sure that it's understood that they are covered, but they, being statewide officials, state legislators, statewide officials, would be the people who have the most influence also on any such debate, whereas a commissioner in La Plata County would not have as much of a stake or as much interest in this subject.
Or the Secretary of State.
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions? Then let's consider then, and I don't, I want to move on to the question of whether the measure comprises a single subject. I don't have anyone else signed up to testify, I don't believe, so I'll turn it over to board discussion on whether the measure is a single subject. Is there any discussion? I mean, as far as I can tell, I think it is. And it's, you know, Mr. Heatherly, I might ask you, how would you express the single subject? I'm not sure the staff draft does it very well, but is there a simple statement of what this is about?
I think the title that's put on it is acceptable, where it's summarized, request for official opposition to any proposed limitation on possession of firearms. It may be difficult to come up with a more succinct statement. You could say, to any proposed limitation created by international treaties, you could add that, clarify it. Depends on how long average you want.
Well, in some ways, I'm kind of jumping ahead maybe to the title, assuming we get to that, but the staff draft is pretty lengthy and detailed, and I was wondering if there was a more succinct statement of the single subject. And so, for example, what occurred to me in reading it was that a shorter statement might be something like just international agreements that impair rights in the contained in the Colorado Bill of Rights. In other words, what's the measure about? Now, what it does about that is more in the details of the measure, but would it be reasonably fair to say what the measure is about is international agreements that impair those rights?
Correct.
And like I say, I think it seems like a single subject to me, and as Mr. Heatherly explained, singling out the right to bear arms is not intended to create any separate subject. I don't think it's really about all of the rights guaranteed by the Colorado Bill of Rights. So, Mr. Carton.
And I'd agree with that, Mr. Chairman. I don't think that, I don't believe that singling out the right to bear arms necessarily would lead to voter, as much as we can speculate on that. I don't say on its face how that would necessarily could lead to voter confusion or surprise. So I would agree that, as you stated it, I think, more succinctly, I think it does have a single subject.
Any further discussion?
I agree with what you've said. That was the only question I had, was how the right to keep and bear arms fit with the other rights, and I think that's been explained in a way that makes sense and fits within the definition of a single subject.
I guess I'll go ahead and make a motion then that I would move that the board find that the measure comprises a single subject and that we proceed to set a title.
Second.
That's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. So then let's turn to the staff draft. I think Ms. Gomez is going to display it on the screen. Mr. Heatherly, have you had a chance to look at the staff draft, and do you have any comments?
I have no comments. It's an accurate and fair summation.
One thing I want to bring up would be the possibility, and I would expect some discussion by board members, but let me go back to my question about single subject. Because this is basically eight lines of what the measure does, more or less, I am wondering, we are required to clearly express the single subject of a measure. And right off the bat, we start off concerning a declaration and request, and that always makes me a little nervous when I see a conjunction right at the beginning of where I would expect the single subject to appear. And so one possibility that I might propose would be to say something that to structure the title a little more traditionally, that would be something like concerning international agreements that impair rights guaranteed by the Colorado Bill of Rights and in connection therewith, and then pretty much pick up with the detail at that point, declaring and requesting that elected officials, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I do want to make sure that we're faithful to our obligation to clearly state the single subject. I'm wondering if you'd like to comment on that approach.
I think your suggestion would make sense. Since the proposal itself is only paragraph long, mm-hmm. You might go and read the full text if they have questions about it.
Right.
The more succinct you can make the title, the better.
And I appreciate your saying that because I'm also thinking about cutting out some of the detail or, you know, bringing that up for discussion because as you say, there is detail in the measure. The title we kind of have right now pretty much is the measure. And we are also required to draft brief titles when we can. So that's another thing that might be fruitful for us to consider whether we can shorten this as well. So, I don't know, discussion by the board?
I support that, Mr. Chair.
I know sometimes we have done, we've tried to avoid using the words in connection therewith because it's kind of legalistic. And we sort of avoided that sometimes when we can state basically the essence of a measure in two or three lines, but this is I'm not sure we can do that here.
So, well, Mr. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead, Mr. DiMenico.
I'm usually the one pushing in that direction, as some of you know. I think if you were to do it, we should also get rid of concerning and then make it clear. I think you could do that, turn the initial statement into an amendment to the Colorado State Constitution declaring and requesting that all elected officials of the state, et cetera, would be the only way I think you could do it. Because I think you're right, if we leave concerning in but take out the in connection therewith, it's sort of leaves the question of concerning suggests, well, this is what it's about, and the title would never actually say, well, this is what it's about, but what does it do? If you get rid of concerning, then I think you could write it in a way that would both say this is what it's about and what it does. But I also am willing in this case, and I think this is a proper instance to do that if we wanted to. I think, though, that if everyone else is more comfortable with the more traditional language, then you do have to add back in connection therewith. And if we were to do that, the language you suggested, I think, is a good summary of the single subject.
And I think you're right. I mean, we essentially have two ways that we can proceed with a relatively short measure, and it's either, an amendment concerning a subject and in connection therewith doing this, this, and this, and that's where we, in other measures, we tend to enumerate the major features, or in a short measure, sometimes, as Mr. Domenico says, we just go straight into ing words and eliminate concerning and in connection. And as he indicated, the model, I think, would be an amendment declaring and requesting, et cetera, et cetera. As I said, for me, this one is, unless we could eliminate an awful lot of words, I would prefer to state a subject and then say what the measure does, but, you know, what the measure does about that subject. But maybe I'm jumping ahead. There are some things that I think could be eliminated that would shorten it. And maybe if I jump to those and we come back to the question of, you know, if we were to shorten it substantially, then I might kind of go back to the idea of some ing words. But let me ask, for example, about deleting the list of officials that begins at the end of line 2. Do we really need to enumerate those? Can we? Is it sufficient to say that that the measure is declaring and requesting all elected officials in the state opposed by all means, et cetera? That seems like a detail to me that is unnecessary.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. I mean, this is a title, not a quotation of the entire measure. It's supposed to be.
Let me go ahead and then make that motion that we delete that phrase, as Ms. Gomez has indicated it on the screen. Then it would read that all elected officials of the state oppose by all means available to them, et cetera. I'll move that. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Another thought that I had as far as shortening it would be the phrase in line 4, by all means available to them as elected officials. Can we strike that? Can we simply say that this is a request that all elected officials of the state oppose the adoption or ratification, et cetera?
I think we can.
Mr. Heatherly, do you have any?
That's acceptable because it's clarified in the language of the proposal itself. The reason we kind of repeated it, it was just for emphasis.
Mm-hmm. And arguably it may be implicit that we're asking, the measure asks them to do this through their official duties, but I think the text of the measure itself was emphasizing that it's through the means available to them, but I would suggest it doesn't need to be in the title itself.
I agree.
Mr. I'm comfortable with that approach.
Okay. That's my motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. I didn't come with any other suggestions for shortening it, but if, you know, while we're looking at the details.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes, sir.
You're aiming at brevity. Could eliminate, or you could condense the phrase "any international treaty, protocol, or binding agreement." Condense that to say any international agreement. That would include the others.
That was one suggestion I had.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and make that motion then.
Second.
So then it reads ratification of any international agreement that impairs, et cetera. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0.
Mr. Chair, the only other possibility I can see, and I'm not sure how the proponents or the board would feel about this, but given our discussion of how the right to keep and bear arms fits within the rest of it, as simply being called out for treatment because of something specific going on right now, but really being treated the same essentially as every right in the State Bill of Rights. You could, I think, remain accurate by deleting the reference to the specific reference to the right to keep and bear arms, and simply say any international agreement that impairs, restricts, or regulates any right that is guaranteed by a provision of Article 2 of the State Constitution. I think that would be accurate, given our discussion today and given my reading of the measure itself. I'm not sure how anybody else feels about what that would do to kind of the immediate purpose behind this, whether that would undermine the goal of the measure. But I'd be willing to think about it at least.
And maybe in support of that, I'd suggest that based on what Mr. Heatherly has said, that would be, you know, omitting the reference to the right to bear arms would be completely accurate about the effect of the measure, and the fact that it calls out the right to bear arms because there is a pending proposal, perhaps more properly belongs in the public debate about the measure, the blue book, and so forth. It may be something that really isn't needed in the title. Mr. Carton.
And I agree with Mr. Domenico that making that revision to the title would be accurate, but I'd be interested in what Mr. Heatherly thinks.
Certainly does not affect the accuracy. The question is, does it affect its adequacy? But since the measure itself is only one paragraph, it's not a 6,000-word amendment that people are going to have to labor over to find, I don't see any objection to making that condensation.
Mr. Domenico, would you like to make a motion then?
Sure. I guess then I would move that we alter the language that begins on line 6 and change the word after regulates, delete all the language on the remainder of line 6 down to the word or on line 7, including the word or should be deleted. And then I think you just delete the word other on line 7. And I think that gets us where I was going and accurately reflects what the measure would do. So I think that's my motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That carries 3-0. Getting much shorter. Since we're at the end of the title, the draft title, let me just ask a question. We're not referring to the Bill of Rights by name. We're simply referring to Article 2 of the State Constitution. And I wonder, I'm just asking the question, do we say Bill of Rights or Colorado Bill of Rights? You know, do we include the citation as well as the heading that appears in the Constitution at the beginning of Article 2? Now, Mr. Heatherly, do you have any feeling about that, any preference? In other words, obviously, the reader is not necessarily going to know what Article 2 is.
Yes, you're correct. And in earlier drafts, we had specified that and took it out because, if I may put it this way, nitpicking that sometimes occurs, well, that's redundant, and for legal purposes, it's not necessary to have it there. Then, for purposes of clarity and brevity, not have anything in it that isn't legally sufficient. But I think for, since we've shortened it already substantially, that you're correct in observing that average citizen is not going to remember that Article 2 is the Bill of Rights. Might be a very good idea to specify that.
Discussion by the board?
Well, I think I'd support that. I don't think Bill of Rights is a catchphrase or anything like that. So I do think it adds an element of explanation, clarification to exactly what Article 2 is. So I'd support it.
I think I would, too. I guess I have one question that I should have looked up, but somebody here might know whether in the state constitution, does it specifically state that Article 2 is the Bill of Rights, or is that just kind of how it's come to be known? I know that's the heading on it, but I don't know if that is just in our statute books or if that's in the actual constitution itself.
It's on your webpage. Described that way.
And I know, and it's described that way in our books too, but I'm not sure if that's something we and West or whoever the publisher of the books is adds, or if it's like some statutes would say this shall be known as the such and such act. I don't think answering that question is necessary to
every
resolve
time I
this.
Went to the page for Colorado.gov Constitution lists all the articles. Article 2 is titled Bill of Rights.
Right. I agree with that. I just wonder if that's something we just call it. But in any case, it doesn't. I think we can accurately use either of those terms. In my view, Bill of Rights is probably more meaningful to the average voter. And if you were to look up Article 2, it says Bill of Rights. If you were to look up Colorado Bill of Rights, you'll find Article 2. So I think I would support that. Well, I guess my question is, are we going to try to change Article 2 to say Bill of Rights, or are we going to try to write it some way that both of them are in there? And I think I might do either. Personally,
I don't have any strong feeling about it one way or the other. I think I would be okay with just saying, just referring to the Bill of Rights in the state constitution or something like that, and not referencing Article 2 specifically. I'm not sure that that adds anything. It's in the measure, but I wouldn't mind having both. It doesn't add much to the length of the title.
I was leaning towards both.
Well, I'm okay with that.
Mr. Carton, how are you picturing doing that?
For openers, I thought it would, maybe you could say, right that is guaranteed by a provision of the Bill of Rights in Article 2 of the state constitution.
By the Bill of Rights in Article 2, okay.
Or contained in.
Yeah. Fine with that. Shall we kind of put that on the screen and see what that looks like?
In or under or contained in or... Yes.
Right now we have, that is guaranteed by a provision of the Bill of Rights in Article 2 of the state constitution. Mr. Heatherly, how do you feel about that?
That's clear. That's an improvement, yes.
It's okay to me.
Me too.
I'll move that change.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. So what we have at this point, I just wanted to test this for length. I'll just read it out loud. An amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning a declaration and request by the people of Colorado that all elected officials of the state, And I think we could take that comma out, Sessi. Oppose the adoption or ratification of any international agreement that impairs, restricts, or regulates any right that is guaranteed by a provision of the Bill of Rights in Article 2 of the State Constitution. And so then a question would be, you know, getting back to the issue raised by Mr. Domenico, can we simply say an amendment to the Colorado Constitution declaring and requesting, I'm not sure about by the people, but declaring and requesting that all elected officials of the state oppose, et cetera? Is that a single subject? Is it sufficient for describing the main features of the proposal? Mr. Garden.
I don't know if this will be a direct answer. I think as written, it expresses a single subject. I think if you were to modify it with the declaring or requesting language, it would be unnecessary to add a in connection there with trailer to it in order to adequately express the single subject. And I would say, although based on your initial comments, Mr. Hobbs, I would say as it expressed right now, it may not need an in connection therewith, that it may be fine as is without a trailer.
I mean, I'm okay with it the way it is right now, too. But and I do have, as Mr. Domenico knows, I have a little more comfort level with concerning a subject as opposed to an amendment that does something. You know, that's more that lists what the measure does, declaring and requesting and things like that. But
so
go ahead.
Sorry. So as it is now, it definitely states a single subject that is really narrowly tailored, saying this is the subject and this is the whole thing. So, and then the opposite approach that I was raising would be this approach kind of assumes, states the subject and sort of assumes that people will understand, okay, this is the subject and this is the effect of it. The opposite approach would be to get rid of concerning, turn it into an amendment declaring and requesting, et cetera, which would kind of state what it does and assume that people understand that that's kind of the subject. And then the third approach would be to add the short phrase with a broader subject, as you suggested, maybe something like concerning international agreements that impair any right under the State Bill of Rights, and in connection therewith, declaring and requesting. Personally, I think I'd be okay with any of those three options. And I understand why you prefer something that at least contains this formulation, because there is the requirement that we state a subject. So if the two of you prefer it this way, I'm comfortable going along with that.
Garden?
Yeah, like, thank you. And I think that it accurately, I know how we've set the titles in the past. I know that those types of precedents and process we consider in fixing titles, but I'm comfortable that concerning a declaration and a request doesn't somehow impair the single subject quality of the title the expression of the single subject here. You know, I think we could take some more time and go back and look at Mr. Hobbs' suggestion. I know that my kind of my initial take was something like an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the opposition by elected officials to any. But I think so long as the proponent is agreeable, so long as Mr. Domenico has ably stated his kind of his basis, I think it's acceptable. But I'd be willing to work harder if Mr. Hobbs wants to work harder on this.
Well, I just say this. We could always come up with some broader statement of a subject that the specifics of what a measure does are contained within, and add that to the after the word concerning, and then say in connection therewith, here are the specifics. I don't think that helps anyone, frankly, necessarily. In some cases, it may be useful when you have a really intricate measure that tries to do certain specific things within a broad umbrella, but this just does one thing that's fairly broad that it doesn't make sense to do that in this case. And in fact, if anything, I think doing it would make the title less clear. I think this does comply with our statutory requirements. It's concise. It's not misleading. It does state the single subject as well as give the average voter information about the material terms of the measure. And I think that's all we're asked to do. And this is one of a number of things we could do, but none of the other options seem so far superior that we should go through that exercise. So, I'll move that we adopt the title as currently stated.
And I'll second it for purposes of discussion.
Mr. Heatherly, do you have any further comment before we further discuss and vote?
You're acceptable.
Okay. You know, I'll support the motion as well. I do want to be mindful of an important point that Mr. Domenico mentioned, is that when we do a title like this concerning this subject, we have to make sure that people understand which side of that subject the measure is. And I think this sometimes you don't know. But in this case, I think, the way I read it, it really is clear what the measure is doing. It's not concerning a declaration and request, and then the measure itself is opposing or prohibiting such a declaration and request. I think the way I read it, I think it is clear what the measure does. And if it weren't, then I'd support doing something differently, concerning a subject, and then here's what the measure does about that subject. But I feel like it's clear, and based on that understanding right now, I can support the motion. Is there any other discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. That is the title. And I should have pointed out, the ballot title and submission clause that begins with what is now line 6 will be conformed to read the same as the amended draft that now appears as lines 1 through 5. So, if there's nothing further, that completes our agenda. The time is 2:44 p.m. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Hathaway.
Sorry about that. Thank you.